Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, book reviews, technology for pets, and new studies receive funding for better pet health. We'll start with a book review on a cat book. Home with Henry, a memoir by Anne Kyer. This book was reviewed by Melissa LaPierre, and she writes, "When I first saw the cover of Home with Henry, I knew it was going to be a very special book, and I was right. From the publisher, when copywriter Anne Kyer stops traffic to rescue a stray cat, neither she nor the cat knows what lies in store. You lose yourself in this witty, true-life story of how Anne hopes a beguiling cat called Henry can help her as a single woman in the amped-up city. But first, how will she lure Henry out from under the bed when not even her 10-year-old nephew can get him to stir?" This book is written in journal form as the author chronicles the first year of her life with Henry, as well as starting a new life herself in her very first home. Rejecting the old-fashioned notion that a woman should wait until she's married to buy a house and create a traditional life, they live on their own terms and build a rich and meaningful life together. It's a scary time for both human and cat, but with great patience and love, they prove that home and family is what you make it. Another star of the book is an aging calico, Lucille. In a couple different passages, Anne writes how she can't help but view Henry as a spare. She knows she won't have Lucille forever and fears being alone when the dreaded time comes. As someone who has always had just one cat at a time, I've often wondered if the heartbreak of losing a pet is any duller when you have another there for comfort. Watching Anne and Henry's bond deepen with each turn of the page was such a heartwarming experience, especially since many people don't believe a feral cat can be domesticated. It became obvious that Henry had found his forever home when the opportunity arose for him to escape over the walled garden in Anne's yard, and he chose to stay. What a beautiful moment. If you're anything like me and believe that cats are synonymous with home, this little book will touch your heart and warm your soul. And another book review, here's one from Good News for Pets. Craig and Fred takes you into emotional trenches with Marine and a special dog. And the review's by Rani Green. It opens in the searing desert heat of Afghanistan and closes with snowflakes in Maine. In between Craig and Fred, a marine, a stray dog, and how they rescued each other. William Morrow, HarperCollins Publishers, for $25.99, is a cascading kaleidoscope of psychological gymnastics. The centerpiece, of course, is a man and his dog, or so it seems it's his dog. Author Craig Grossi is a nine-year Marine Corps veteran and a Purple Heart recipient who finds love and commitment in a scruffy Afghan dog while on patrol in remote Sangin, Afghanistan. The stray, with a big goofy head, short legs, and a puppy-like pep, doesn't appear vicious or run in a pack like most others he'd encountered. There was something innocent about him. He seemed unaffected by life in a combat zone. He quickly becomes popular in the compound and was like a little brother to the author. Not only was he much smaller than any other dogs we came across in Afghanistan, no more than 30 pounds, but his short legs were an anomaly we loved. Being low to the ground didn't hurt Fred's pride. He always trotted around the compound like a show dog. Head up, tail bouncing, paws flicking the dirt. He had an irresistible combination of innocence and confidence, Grossi writes. Quickly, this one-time wanderer finds a home and integrates into a team member, even to the point that a fellow Marine dubs him Sergeant Fred upon returning from a trip to a nearby village with the team. Fred's appeal isn't universal in the compound, where Afghan National Army members are also based. They look with disdain when he receives a handout from one of the Marines. One of the ANA troops exclaims, "How can you Marines expect respect when you treat this disgusting dog like a person?" Different culture, different attitudes, and this base is not situated in a part of the country where it is customary to have pets. More than once, an ANA commando threatens to shoot Fred, who is living on the edge 24/7. All of this prompts a Fred watch by Craig's unit members, i.e. keeping him out of harm's way. Military personnel are forbidden from housing, feeding, or taking possession of dogs in the war zone. While friendly, who knows what emotional and or physical damage Fred might be bringing to the table. One thing's for sure, this happy character is covered with black bugs the size of dimes. Shortly after taking the beef jerky handout, the dog remains alongside with a toothy grin, tail wagging again. From across the compound, Matt, one of the EDO guys, had been watching our exchange, Grossi says. "Looks like you made a friend," he shouted. "But what I heard was, looks like a Fred." The name stuck. One of the reasons for the no dogs policy is the prospect of personnel contracting rabies from these four-legged carriers. In a combat zone, some commands considered dogs a threat to good order and discipline, the author emphasizes. More specifically is the uncertainty a dog could become a dangerous distraction that could compromise the focus and integrity of the unit. Conversely, Fred initially accompanies Craig's team on night patrols and is so quiet and agile, no one questions his company. One night, that changes, and he is relegated back to the compound, assuming a new role as greeter-in-chief. Craig is an intelligent collector. His role in the field is to learn as much as possible about the nearby Taliban from villagers. But it quickly becomes apparently his secondary but covert mission is getting this Velcro dog out of Afghanistan and to the United States. But keeping Fred under wraps is fraught in a cloak-and-dagger scenario for all involved because of the no-pets edict from the commanding general of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. If Fred is discovered, he will be euthanized. Hence, the longer this drama plays out and the stronger the bond between Craig and Fred is cemented, the urgency of extracting Fred to the U.S. becomes top priority. This involves reaching out to his sister in the U.S. for help with necessary veterinary forms and seeking assistance from countless others in the way of distractions and cover from the Sanguine base to Camp Leatherneck, which would be the eventual takeoff site for Fred's 24-hour journey, three-stop flight to the U.S. Simply reaching Camp Leatherneck, Fred is hidden in a duffel bag for the helicopter trip between the two bases, gives Craig only a brief pause. Since the clock is ticking on Operation Fred, Craig only has 2 weeks to successfully find a way out of the country for Fred before the Marine will be deployed back to Sanguine to complete his deployment. Up step several DHL workers who befriend Fred and go way beyond the call of duty to assist Craig with hiding the dog, assisting with paperwork, and making certain the dog is safely crated and boarded on the flight out. "We were all transplants here," Craig writes, "trying to survive in our strange circumstances. These guys didn't have to help me, and still they did. I was humbled by their generosity." One of their quick-thinking and possibly life-saving moves on Fred's behalf comes during a general's inspection of the DHL complex at Camp Leatherneck, where Fred is secretly housed. That's when Peter, DHL worker, brings Fred out on a leash, parading him along a row of crates, pretending he's a bomb-sniffing dog. And Fred, Craig says, with his confident trot and natural curiosity, was actually making it look legit. In the midst of secretly processing Fred for a flight out, Craig encounters a British veterinarian on the British side of Camp Leatherneck and asks if she could examine the dog, which Craig knows nothing about. She deems him totally healthy and estimates his age to be 6 to 7 months. Then she writes an unofficial note clearing him for travel. Even after Fred reaches the U.S., Craig is not out of the woods yet. His patrol unit meets stiff resistance from Taliban fighters, resulting in the devastating loss of two friends. The compelling storyline, however, is accented with an engaging mix of twists and turns, requiring a sharp focus by the reader. One chapter is set in Afghanistan, the next stateside, with the bulk of the latter tied to an adventurous long road trip in a 27-year-old truck with Craig, Fred, and fellow vet Josh, who he met in a class at Georgetown University. He has since graduated from Georgetown with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Liberal Studies and a concentration in International Affairs. Josh, too, served in Afghanistan and lost a leg to an IED explosion. Not only is Fred the center of attention in Afghanistan, but the talking point on Craig and Josh's multi-stop journey about the U.S. Having Fred alongside enables Craig to open up and open an Afghanistan dialogue with strangers when otherwise there would have been no comfort zone. Craig explains, in everyday life, out at some bar, it could feel impossible to swap stories about the buddies we'd lost. How do you ever start a conversation like that? Fred gave us a place to begin, a way to talk about some of the things we didn't want to say, but probably needed to. He gave us a way to talk about war. In the closing pages, he discusses the key role Fred has played in his life. Not only did he remind me what I was capable of, but his presence prevented me from ever taking even a moment for granted. Each day, Fred reminded me that a loving, adventurous life was possible if I could continue to choose to be optimistic, even in the face of great calamity or despair. I knew I had rescued Fred once, but Fred continued to rescue me time and time again. Craig and Fred is a rich portrait of a special bond that dramatizes the adage that every dog-owner relationship is its own ecosystem. In this one, bright sunshine casts aside dark clouds. Again, the book is Craig and Fred, A Marine, A Stray Dog, and How They Rescued Each Other. From Good News for Pets, a news release, Morris Animal Foundation funds new studies that target critical illnesses threatening cats. And this was released November 15, 2017. Studies of three deadly infections in cats are among the research projects awarded more than $400,000 in grants from Morris Animal Foundation, the organization announced today. The studies will help veterinary scientists advance the health of cats, particularly those in shelter environments where infectious diseases take a greater toll. Cats are one of the most beloved pets in the United States, with an estimated 85 million gracing our homes and our lives, said Dr. John Reddington, Morris Animal Foundation president and CEO. Their owners want to do everything they can to care for their feline companions, and that includes the very best veterinarian care. And that's where Morris Animal Foundation comes in. The studies we fund address critical health issues that cats are facing, saving lives, and giving our feline friends longer, healthier lives. Through this year's grants, the foundation is supporting five researchers and one fellow at five universities, including Colorado State University, Michigan State University, and the University of Sydney, Australia. The foundation's Small Animal Scientific Advisory Board reviewed all submitted grant applications and selected, based on scientific merit and impact, the studies with the greatest potential to save lives, preserve health, and advance veterinary care. Feline studies funded for 2017 are investigating the re-emergence of a fatal gastrointestinal disease in shelter cats. In the last 10 to 15 years, feline panleukemia has re-emerged as a major cause of death in shelter-housed cats. Researchers will determine if multiple parvovirus strains or other viruses are contributing to the reemergence of panleukemia, also called feline distemper, a severe and often fatal gastrointestinal infection in cats. This was awarded to the University of Sydney, Australia. Next is developing new diagnostic and prognostic tests for feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP. Feline infectious peritonitis is perhaps the most devastating infectious disease of cats. Definitive diagnosis of FIP prior to death remains a significant challenge, frustrating owners and veterinarians alike. Researchers will explore novel ways to diagnose and predict the likelihood of a cat to develop feline infectious peritonitis, a highly fatal virus disease with no known cure. And this was awarded to Colorado State University. Next is combating feline herpes virus-related upper respiratory infections. Feline herpes virus type 1, or FHV1, causes approximately 50% of diagnosed viral upper respiratory tract infections in cats. FHV1 spreads rapidly in multi-cat environments, making it a significant problem in shelters, where infection often leads to euthanasia of infected animals. Researchers will identify genes responsible for the lack of immune defenses associated with feline herpes virus, a major cause of upper respiratory infections in cats, with the aim of developing a more effective vaccine. This was awarded to Michigan State University. Next, understanding why cats respond differently to a common heart medication. Studies indicate that between 6% and 17% of cats with cardiac diseases will develop potentially life-threatening blood clots. The drug clopidogrel is frequently prescribed for cats with heart disease to help prevent and treat blood clot formation. However, individual cats may process clopidogrel differently, resulting in variations in drug efficacy. Researchers will determine if genetic mutations are directly linked to how well or how poorly a cat with heart disease responds to the drug. Awarded to University of California, Davis. And finally, evaluating the effectiveness of a commonly prescribed drug for chronic kidney disease, or CKD. Chronic kidney disease is a common health condition in cats, and an estimated 50% of elderly cats are diagnosed with this disease. Researchers will evaluate the effectiveness of omeprazole, a gastric acid suppressant commonly prescribed to treat gastrointestinal symptoms in cats with chronic kidney disease. The project consists of two grants, one of which is a fellowship awarded to the University of Tennessee. And now, the latest tech products for your pets is reviewed on goodnewsforpets.com. Feel a Scratch by Feel Away is a simple answer to your cat's inappropriate scratching in the home. When scratching, cats mark their territory by leaving visual and chemical messages from their paws. This scent message, undetectable to us, is a pheromone known as the feline interdigital semiochemical. Scratching can also be a sign of stress in cats. When applied on the desired scratching surface, it mimics the visual and chemical signs to encourage the cat to scratch there again. Feel a Scratch by Feel Away has been clinically proven to help reduce or stop unwanted scratching in the home, displayed both on vertical and horizontal surfaces, and redirect cats to their scratching post. It directs the cat to scratching post by mimicking natural feline pheromone and visual signals with a blue colorant. It works on cats and kittens to reduce, stop, or prevent unwanted scratching. Works for both horizontal and vertical scratching. Is 80% of cats already scratched? 80% of cats already scratching started using scratching post within the first 7 days. More than 90% of cats never started destructive scratching when Feel a Scratch was used, and satisfaction is guaranteed. You can learn more about Feel a Scratch and where to buy it at SaveTheCouches.com. Next is fear-free preferred product, Pet Tunes Canine and Feline by Pet Acoustics. Pet Tunes Canine and Feline by Pet Acoustics are Bluetooth speakers preloaded with frequency-modified music, clinically proven to reduce stress and calm canine and feline behaviors. The Pet Tunes Canine and Feline are part of the Fear-Free Preferred Product Program. The Pet Tunes Canine solves separation anxiety, noise phobias, excessive barking, and the Pet Tunes Feline solves environmental stress, thunderstorm nerves, and nocturnal activity. They are ideal for veterinary exams, post-surgery, grooming, kennel areas, and training. Pet Tunes are portable for travel, and pet parents love them for home use. Plays 24/7 or up to 8 hours wirelessly. It's preloaded with canine or feline music. It has a Bluetooth speaker with that pairs with digital devices, 1 gigabyte micro SD card, a USB charger that lasts 5 to 10 hours, and built-in repeat mode for all-day play. Pet Acoustics offers a unique range of innovative species-specific products based on pet hearing sensitivities. The science behind Pet Acoustics products is a special process in which frequencies and decibel levels are modified for acute pet hearing sensitivities. Providing ideal sonic environments for pets is a natural and profound method that minimizes stress and balances behavior. The results are measurable and repeatable. Internationally recognized composer, researcher, and sound behaviorist Janet Marlowe's breakthrough research has helped thousands of pets and pet parents, veterinarians, and trainers to resolve sound-triggered stress behaviors. Pet Tune Feline by Pet Acoustics and the Pet Tunes Canine by Pet Acoustics each sell for $59.99, and you can find more information at petacoustics.com. Next is the Classic C1 Cat and Dog Vacuum by Mila. Designed for pet owners and non-pet owners alike, the Classic C1 Cat and Dog offers specialized features to keep flooring and upholstery tidy and contaminants from re-entering the air. It is powered by the famously quiet 1,200-watt Vortex German motor. You can pick up dirt, dust, and allergens with a quick pass of either the electric power nozzle for carpets or the SBB parquet brush for smooth surfaces. Classic C1 Cat and Dog is perfect for cleaning low to medium pile carpets, and its gentle agitation won't cause premature wear on looped carpets or delicate area rugs. The floor brush will easily glide over your floors, removing everything in sight. Its delicate brush and rubber wheels makes it safe for even the most delicate hardwoods. The Mila C1 Cat and Dog has the full-size 4.5-liter GN bags, which has 9 layers of fleece, which holds in the finest dust particles. But what really gives this vacuum its name is the Active Air Clean filter loaded with charcoal designed to eliminate odors. Key features are the ultra-quiet 1200 the ultra-quiet 1,200-watt Vortex motor with 6 speeds, dial speed control, 18-feet power cord with automatic cord winder, the 4.5-liter 9-layer fleece disposable bag for added airflow and filtration, Active Air Clean filtration for eliminating odors, performance indicator lets you know when the bag is over full or when there is a blockage in the hose. And there's a 5-year warranty on the vacuum and a 7-year warranty on the vacuum motor. The weight of the vacuum is only 9.75 pounds. The classic C1 cat and dog retails for $599 at dealers nationwide. To locate a dealer nearest you, please visit Miela.com. I'm sorry, MielaUSA.com. And Miela is spelled M-I-E-L-E. And finally, helping a family of wobbly kittens land on solid ground by Nicole Hamilton of Best Friends Animal Society. Judy Steger fosters kittens from the Best Friends Kitten Nursery in Salt Lake City on a regular basis. So when she welcomed a nursing mom named Keisha and her four babies, French Fry, Pickle, Big Mac, and Lettuce, into her home, she had a pretty good idea of what to expect. There'd be mischief, epic tail chases, some at 3 a.m., and enough cuteness to fill a stadium. After spending just a couple of weeks with Keisha and her kittens, it was clear that she had a very special family to look after. All kittens except French Fry had heads that bobbed and walks that wobbled. In fact, Judy had to hold their heads still so they could eat. And this worried her because she wanted them to grow up healthy and strong. She learned about feline cerebellar hypoplasia. She heard that feline cerebellar hypoplasia, or CH, a neurological condition sometimes referred to as wobbly or shaky kitten syndrome, causes cats to teeter, just like the kitten she was fostering, but she'd never seen CH firsthand. Kittens with CH tend to develop at a slower pace, and Judy was patient as they developed their muscles and learned how to navigate on their own. She also found them a special litter box that they didn't have to step into, so they didn't have to step into it, and kept them in areas free from potentially dangerous objects. After about 4 months, the kittens and their mom were ready to be adopted, and mom and French Fry found homes quickly, and thanks to social media, word about the three CH kittens spread quickly. Pickle and Big Mac soon got adopted too, and Lettuce, the cat with the most severe case of CH, found a home when Natasha Gwynn learned about the family on Facebook. Judy occasionally gets updates about the CH kittens she fostered, and when she does, she's reminded of Best Friend's important work in making Utah a no-kill state in the very near future. If they were at a shelter that wasn't a no-kill, they might not have gotten a chance to grow up strong and healthy, says Judy. And even though her spirited house guests kept her on her toes and sometimes awake at all hours of the night, she says she'd do it all again. There's a whole community with big hearts for special needs animals. And it'll do it for that this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. Thank you for listening. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.